Morning, Trinity.
Morning.
Oh, this nice sunny day. It's so good to see everybody. The rain was really a little refreshing, wasn't it? Well, we are glad you're here, and we'd like to have you stand and welcome one another now with a handshake of warmth and welcome. Please remain standing. We make our beginning this morning in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us now confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his own mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of the word of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and their praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Glory to God in the highest, and peace to his people on earth.
Thank you.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray together. O God, our refuge and strength, the author of all godliness, by your grace, hear the prayers of your church. Grant that those things which we ask in faith, we may receive through your bountiful mercy. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated.
The Old Testament reading is from Habakkuk chapters 1 and 2. The oracle that Habakkuk saw, the prophet saw, O Lord, how shall I cry for help, and you will not hear, or cry to you, violence, and you will not say? Why do you make me see iniquity, and why do you idly look at wrong? Destruction and violence are before me, strife and contention arise. So the law is paralyzed, and justice never goes forth. For the wicked surround the righteous, and justice goes forth perverted. I will take my stand at my watchpost and station myself on the tower, and I look out to see what he will say to me, and what I will answer concerning my complaint. And the Lord answered me, write the vision, make it plain on tablets, so he may run who reads it. For still the vision awaits its appointed time. It hastens to the end. It will not lie. If it seems slow, wait for it. It will surely come. It will not delay. Behold, his soul is puffed up. It is not upright within him, but the righteous shall live by his faith. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from 2 Timothy chapter 1. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, according to the promise of the life that is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my beloved child, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve, as did my ancestors, with a clear conscience, as I remember you constantly in my prayers, night and day. As I remember your tears, I long to see you, that I may be filled with joy. I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now I am sure dwells in you as well. For this reason, I remind you to fan into the flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God gave us a spirit, not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share in suffering for the gospel by the power of God, who saved us and called us to a holy calling, not because of our works, but because of his own purpose and grace, which he gave us in Christ Jesus before the ages began, and which now has been manifested through the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, for which I was appointed a preacher and apostle and teacher, which is why I suffer as I do. But I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I am convinced that he is able to guard until that day what has been entrusted to me. Follow the pattern of the sound words that you have heard from me in the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. By the Holy Spirit who dwells within us, guard the good deposit entrusted to you. This is the word of the Lord.
Gospel this morning is written in the book of St. Luke, the 17th chapter, beginning with the first verse, and this text will serve as our message and basis. Jesus said to his disciples, temptations are to sin are sure to come, but woe to the one through whom they come. It would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were cast into the sea than he should cause one of these little ones to sin. Pay attention to yourselves. If your brother sins, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you seven times in the day and turns to you seven times, saying, I repent. You must forgive him. The apostle said to the Lord, increase our faith. And the Lord said, if you had faith like a grain of mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it would obey you. Will any one of you who has a servant plowing or keeping sheep say to him when he has come in from the field, come at once and recline at the table? Will he not rather say to him, prepare supper for me and dress properly and serve me while I eat and drink, and afterward you will eat and drink? Does he thank the servant because he did what he was commanded? So you also, when you have done all that you were commanded, say, we are unworthy servants. We have only done what was our duty. Here ends the reading of our gospel. You may be seated. Peace be richly and abundantly poured out upon you this day. Our text is the gospel lesson which you've just heard. I'd like to share with you a servant's heart. I was privileged to serve in the Florida Georgia district, as you've heard many times, but one of the things I got to do was to be on a team of guys from around the nation that would help train and teach mission planters as they were going out to start their missions. And the big thing about that was it wasn't the pay, and you got a t-shirt, and you were selected, and you were chosen for 2 years, and we were privileged to serve in that same position for 6 years, but we built a team. And it was just the joy of being on that team, and then seeing the things that these young men and women would do as they became a part of a mission planting effort. Sometimes there's something more than getting a pat on the back. And sometimes those don't come. Sometimes it's just being on the Lord's team and doing what you know He wants you to do. That's enough. And sometimes it's just for the joy of being a parent and raising children, even sometimes when they're unthankful for you being their mom or their dad or their grandma or their grandpa. Sometimes it's taking care of a spouse that simply needs a little more attention, or a lot more attention. Those thankless jobs, but that we do because we know it's the right thing to do. Today I would like to start this message by sharing those thoughts. And understanding as we call and are serving our Lord and Savior in a variety of capacities, that sometimes it's a thankless job, but it's a joyous one. And so as we start to see, we see Jesus in this text. He's not big on titles. He's not big on pats on the back. In fact, elsewhere we read that the Son of Man came not to be served, but rather to serve. and also that Jesus did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, although he was the very Son of God. Jesus, the Son of Man, was obedient unto a point of death, even death upon a cross, we are told. This is a lesson today on Christian living as a disciple of Jesus Christ. Today, Jesus will bring up temptations to sin, forgiveness that is unlimited, faith, and the size of our faith, does it really matter? Unworthy servants, simply serving for the joy of doing what we've been called and commanded to do. Please pray with me. Lord and Savior Jesus, help us to learn the lessons here that you have outlined for us, and help us to see how this applies to our life and our being your disciple, your child. In Jesus' holy name, amen. And he said, Jesus, to his disciples, temptations are sure to come, but woe to the one to whom they come through. Jesus, you might say, gives us fair warning. The temptations are sure to come. We remember from Peter that the devil is a roaring lion, the father of lies and deception, and he will attempt to deceive you and me. Remember after Jesus had been tempted for 40 days? The devil, it says in the text, it says, the devil departed from Jesus, having had no luck, you would find out, of having tempted him. He departed from and looked until another opportune time. The devil never concedes defeat. He's a chess player. He foretells that he will return. And as you and I see that in our own life, we need to understand that the devil will do the very same thing in our lives. Does he not know where your weaknesses are? Do you think that perhaps when you're sick or suffering or feeling lonely, that he likes to push some buttons? Do you think that there are those times when things are going tough that he would like to just put a little bit of heavier load on your back and give you a little bit of a mental trip to say it's your fault, you know? Do you see, the devil comes to us at the least opportune time to try to get us to trip up and to deny our Lord and our Savior, Jesus. As your pastor, when might you expect to see the devil showing up? I think in Jesus' life that the devil tempted him many times throughout his earthly ministry. What about when Judas would betray knowing Jesus for a few pieces of silver? What about when Peter would deny even knowing Jesus after saying, "I'll die for you"? What about when Jesus' disciples deserted him and abandoned him? Or when they were asked, three of them, to go and to pray with Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane the night before Jesus was crucified. And Jesus returned following, finding them three times asleep. Temptations. The devil would cause them, I'm certain. As Jesus prayed in the garden, "Father, let this cup pass from me, but not my will, but thine be done." What about Peter? What about John? What about James? What about all the disciples? And those whom he had come to save and to seek, who would yell out, "Crucify him!" From the cross, we are reminded that even those who had crucified him and those who had cursed him, Jesus didn't give in. In fact, he hung his head and he prayed, "Father, forgive them." And then he breathed his last, and before he gave up that last breath, he said, "Into thy hands I commend my spirit." And you see, it was at that point we know that Jesus' victory, that he accomplished his mission, that his faith was intact. The devil hadn't tripped him up. But as you and I start to see in our lives, I want you to know that the devil is constantly trying to trip us up. And Jesus now goes beyond warning us about being tempted, he now switches it up a bit and says, let us not be a part of tempting anyone else to sin. We might do that through just a bit of gossip that we could share. We might do it through being angry, during our ride on I-4, somebody that pulls in front of us or doesn't let us in, and we give them less than all five fingers and a wave. And we start to see the ways in which our Lord and our Savior warns us here, let us not be a part of having someone else fall into sin. Let us not do anything that would allow us to give them reason not to believe. Jesus says, pay attention to yourself, what good words those are. Then he says, if your brother sins to you, rebuke him for the purposes of restoring you. Reproach him. Allow him to know that he has fallen short. And if he repents, Jesus says, forgive him. And if he sins against you seven times in the same day and turns to you seven times saying, I repent, you must forgive him. Now, I would like to say that Peter elsewhere asked Jesus about this. And Peter says, how often should we forgive them, Lord? Three times? As the Pharisees say? What about seven times? They say we should forgive them seven times. Peter, thinking that he'd be twice as good as the Pharisees and add one more for the eternal number seven, elsewhere in Scripture says, how about seven, Lord? And elsewhere in Scripture, Jesus says, no, how about 70 times seven? An eternity of eternity number. Forgiveness unlimited. Always being willing to forgive that brother or sister that's crossed the line. And always being willing to forgive even the deepest of hurts where there is true repentance. And always being ready to forgive as we have been forgiven. Jesus reminds us to forgive from the heart. He forgives us freely. And in the Lord's Prayer today, we will say, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who have trespassed or sinned against us. And the next verses following that, do you know what they say? For if you forgive the sins of those who have sinned against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you do not forgive their sins, neither will your heavenly Father forgive you your sins. What a reminder for us to be truly those who will forgive. I was kidding Gary about kissing back there at the greeting rather than shaking hands. He was kissing. And in any case, he says, aren't we a church of love? And I had to say, yes, we are, and forgiveness. And not that that's what you needed there, but I'm just saying when we forgive, that's what we're here for, is to forgive. We always proclaim it, but sometimes it's so hard to do it. And so as you and I start to see this opportunity, our Lord and our Savior underscores it, forgive, always forgive. Forgiveness frees us from the pressures of anger and resentment and hostility and high blood pressure. Harboring hatred is not what Jesus wants. It's what the devil wants. And as you and I start to see this, we understand the importance of it as others have forgiven us. With threats of temptation and causing others to sin from the heart, forgiving them as Jesus has called us, is it any wonder why the apostles would now come to Jesus and say, Lord, increase our faith? This is hard. Can't you just somehow supersize our faith so that we're better able to do all these things? Because we fall so short, Lord. And the Lord said to those disciples or apostles, if you had faith like a grain of a mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, the largest tree as its branches spread out, be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it would obey you. Elsewhere it would say, if you have seed, a faith the size of a mustard seed, you could say to this mountain, be moved, and it would be moved. Jesus tells his disciples it's not the size of their faith, but the application of it. Faith, even the size of a mustard seed, the smallest of all seeds, is potent and powerful. So much so it moves mountains and moves trees. Awareness that faith is the thing that sometimes we need to be looking to. At that moment of trust and belief and reliance, not upon ourselves or the size of our faith, but in the ability of our Lord and Savior. Our faith rests in Jesus, not the size of our faith jar that we try to cram it into. Our faith is belief and trust in Jesus of Nazareth, for him to accomplish his will and his trust in us, in the things that we've talked with him about in prayer, in trusting in his answer to those prayers. It is living our life in the Lord's hands and not knowing the outcome, trusting in his will to be good and perfect and to be done. Jesus next gets down and personal with us. And here's where he goes. He goes into our role as disciples. We are servants. We will be tempted, he says, and we must pay attention to ourselves that we provide no manner or form of tempting someone else. Next, we are to forgive even 70 times 7. All these seem like we ought to receive a golden badge of discipleship, to be brought up in front of everybody at church, and to join the rank of master disciple. No, our Lord really tells us this is our job. This is what he's called us to do. This is what he's commanded to us to do. As we look at those who are serving and helping their parents or working with them at home or in a nursing home and providing care for them, it's a thankless job to help a spouse. Sometimes it's a thankless job. It's the job we do with joy because it's our job. It's what we've been commanded. When I was in the hospital, I talked with a nurse who had gone above and beyond, I thought. And when I asked her, and I said, why do you do all this? And you seem to have such a pleasant attitude. She said, that's my job. That's what I do. She wasn't standing around looking for a pat on the back or a tip. She just wanted to do her work and her job, and she did it very well. As a disciple of the Lord Jesus, we love because he first loved us. We forgive because he forgave me. I will be kind because of God's grace. I will serve with joy because that's what Jesus has called me to do. When I come, I preach, I teach, lead confirmation, make hospital visits, and attend meetings. I do it with joy. And you do with joy what you have been called to do. Serve your Lord and your Savior. Will any one of you, Jesus asks, who has a servant plowing or keeping sheep, say to him when he's come in from the field, come at once and recline at the table? Will he not rather say to him, prepare supper for me and dress properly and serve me while I eat and drink, and afterward you will eat and drink? Does he thank the servant because he did what he has commanded? So you also, when you've done all that you were commanded, say, we are but unworthy servants. We've only done what is our duty. You and I serve at the Lord's pleasure and will. I hope that you see in your role that you too are a servant leader. I hope that you and I have demonstrated this time and time again in the roles in which we play. For me, it's a pat on the back about just being on the team. It's wonderful to serve Jesus. It's wonderful to be a part of doing what God's will is in this place at this time. And I'm sure it is for you if you're a Sunday school teacher or an elder or an organist or on the music team, on the choir, an usher or a greeter, an acolyte, or if you're serving with the altar guild. It's just good to be on the team. You're serving Jesus. And you might not have your name in the bulletin, You might not get the accolades, but we are servants. Yes, by the grace of God, we are even unworthy servants. But by the grace of God, we are each called to serve in our role, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We are on the almighty team of Jesus carrying out his precious work. And the words I think we all await to hear are yet to come. They'll come from Jesus when he calls us from this life to the next. I wait to hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Come and see the place I've prepared for you." In Jesus' name, may God bless the work that you and I do together, and may we do it with joy of simply being on the team. In Jesus' holy name, amen. Please stand. Of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again, according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. You may be seated.
Thank you.
with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and singing. Savior Jesus, we indeed ask you, we thank you as well for giving us a heart of discipleship and of servanthood. We thank you for the model that you've given us, that though you be the Son of Man, you came to serve, not to be served. Help us to pick up our cross and daily to follow you. Help us to see the ways in which you've called us into service so that we may, in our ways, let down our nets. Help us to see the things that we do and how they bear fruit for your kingdom. The watching of a child, the care given a parent or a spouse, the kind word that is said to a friend or a neighbor or a member. We ask you, Lord, help us to be a part of your team, always, and to serve you with great joy, always looking for new ways to serve you and gladly to step in to help out, even though sometimes it is thankless. We ask you, O Lord, for the joy of serving, and may that serving spirit be upon this congregation. So we ask for volunteers, O Lord, be sent into the harvest field. For as we learned last week, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Lord, send forth the laborers here to Trinity. As we seek to reach out across the street to the high-rises and apartments that are going in. As we seek to reach those who are in our child development center and in our congregation. Bless Immerse as it spreads your word. The word that you have given us that is the power unto our salvation. Help us to learn from it and to apply it to our life, individually and as a congregation. Lord, help us to bear witness to you always. Help us to be in fellowship with one another, being remembering and reminded of the true fact that we are brothers and sisters in you. And for that, we give you praise and thanks. And help us to be good stewards of all that you bless us with. In Jesus' holy name, Lord, in your mercy. Lord Jesus, we also ask that you'd be with Len Gabriel, that you'd be with all those who are sick and suffering. We ask your healing hand, and we give you thanks for my continued recovery from knee surgery, for your blessings upon Lo Phillips and his life. And we thank you, Lord, for his improved health. Lord, may you also be with all those who we have not mentioned. And we ask you, O Lord, to be with them, comfort them at this hour and this time, uplift and strengthen them and those who serve to help support them. Lord, in your mercy. And now, Lord, we pray that prayer which you taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. The same night in which our Lord and Savior Jesus was betrayed, he took bread, and when he had broken it, he gave thanks. And he gave it unto his disciples, saying, Take and eat. This is my body, given unto death for you. Likewise, in the same manner, he also took the cup, and when he had supped, he gave thanks. And he gave it unto his disciples, saying, Take and drink ye all of it. For this cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is given and is shed for you for the remission of all your sins. As oft as you do this, do it in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always. As often as we eat this bread and drink this cup, we do indeed proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus.
Thank you.
I'm sorry, what? God, our Heavenly Father, you have given us a foretaste of the feast to come in the Holy Supper of your Son's body and blood. Keep us firm in the true faith throughout our days of pilgrimage, that on the day of his coming we may, together with all your saints, celebrate the marriage feast of the Lamb and his kingdom, which has no end. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and bring you his peace. Amen. You may be seated.
Morning. We're going to start the collection for Operation Christmas Child. This will run for the next 3 weeks. Join us in collecting gifts and packing boxes for Operation Christmas Child to bless the children in need all over the world. A collection bin will be in the church narthex to gather items for the next 3 weeks. Those items will then be used at our Oktoberfest festival, where we will pick all the boxes for pack all the boxes for shipping. You can also take a box for your home, small group, or to your office to collect and pack a shoebox on your own. This is a fantastic opportunity to participate in an outreach effort that will literally reach thousands of children in need worldwide. Donation details are in your Trinity Weekly. If you didn't notice, the pumpkin patch is ready to go, and it's run by the Child Development Center, PTL, and it's open now. Buying your pumps here at Trinity is convenient and is supportive of Trinity School Ministry. Check the Trinity Weekly for hours of operation. And we're going to speak about Pumpkin Palooza. Pastor Doug's going to do that.
Sit tight, Cal, for a second. Well, Pumpkin Palooza, it's a first-time event for Trinity. And we hope to make it something that we're doing jointly with the CDC and our church. And so as a result, it is a wonderful way for us to connect. And so when we start to look at this, we're going to see the kids dressed up for a Halloween costume parade. And of course, some of the adults and the teachers. This is open not only for the CDC, but also for Trinity families and children, and as well as members here. And so we just want to simply invite everyone to that. But one of the best ways, we really need some extra help, and that is if you're willing to allow us to have you bring your car, get your trunk kind of cleaned out, and be willing to maybe decorate it a little bit with some Halloween type themes, and then to be able to throw some candy in there. We're not going to leave it in there very long, so we're going to have the kids walk by. Our cars are going to be lined up in the interior drives here. We're going to start in the front parking lot first. We want to be very visible to the community, and we want to be able to also have the parents of the CDC have an opportunity to meet you, our members, here at Trinity. And by opening your trunk up and having some candy in there for their kids to come by and grab some will be your opportunity to connect with them. We hope and pray that this is going to be a fun event, one that you'll be a part of. And if you'd like to be a part of it, please notify me, church office, Chanda, or you can simply, I think we can get a little bit of a blank piece of paper in the back there and just start writing some names down. If you say, hey, I'll bring my car. Ed, I don't know. You might even be able to bring your motorcycle and pack it in those side carriers there. So But you know what I'm saying. We need to do this and to support one another, so we hope you'll be a part of it. And Kel? Yes?
They don't have the time up there, but I just spoke to Stacy. She said it starts at 10 o'clock and everybody's meeting in the back area. 10 o'clock is the parade. 10:30 is going to be trunk or treat. And then there's a bunch of food afterwards at 11. Barbecue, sandwiches, things like that.
Yeah. Chef Poole is making the that. I will say I know that. So 10 is... Thank you. I certainly will. And some people from Saturday will be showing up at 9. Well, God's blessings. I hope you'll be a part of it. And please do make sure you get some candy and bring your trunk.
And there's two other announcements. Our annual Oktoberfest festival will be Friday, October 25th. And it runs from 5 to 8. It'll be great food, live music, games, and more. So please come. And the Immersed Bible Reading Experience, that began this weekend. You'll start with week one readings, and the sermon next week will wrap up week one. If you haven't signed up for the group yet, you'll find a list for in your Trinity Weekly. If you'll be following along with the readings and studying on your own, you're invited to take part in the online discussion group on Facebook as your schedule permits. The link is in your weekly.
And there's more. We also want to say that there is a something that's going to be a precursor of what you're going to be studying this week in the Gospel of Luke. So if you take a look at that, Evan.
Thanks.
It's hard to believe that a quarter of the entire New Testament was written to one person, a first century Roman official named Theophilus. Theophilus became a follower of Jesus at perhaps the worst possible time. The Roman government, who he depended on for his livelihood, was turning against the burgeoning Christian community. Meanwhile, some Jewish followers of Jesus were questioning whether non-Jewish believers like Theophilus really belonged. Theophilus urgently needed answers. Was there a place for him in Jesus' kingdom or not? And was the story he'd been told too good to be true? Theophilus turned to a friend named Luke, a traveling companion of the Apostle Paul. Luke's reply came in the form of a two-part series, the books we now know as Luke and Acts. Luke assured his friend that everything he'd heard about Jesus was true and worth believing in, no matter what it might cost. And yes, this story really was for him too. Jesus came not just for his own people, the Jews, but to announce a kingdom for all people. Old barriers, like the one between Jews and Gentiles, were being torn down. Luke's first volume tells the story of Jesus' life, answering the question, is he the King of the Jews or the Savior of the world? With an emphatic yes. In the words of one elderly prophet who meets the infant Jesus in the Jewish temple, this child is destined to be the glory of his own people and salvation for all people. As the story progresses, the adult Jesus moves decisively toward Jerusalem, the center of Jewish life, where eventually he is betrayed and executed. Along the way, he attracts a host of unlikely followers, outsiders and outcasts, the poor, the sick, those widely viewed as unworthy or less than. Even more astonishing is Jesus' reaction. He talks to them. He embraces them. He invites them into his kingdom. You can imagine how reassuring this was to Theophilus. According to Luke, after Jesus rose from the dead, he appeared to his closest followers and told them, "There is forgiveness for all who repent." The disciples were to carry this good news of God's kingdom to all the nations. And that's how a book originally written for one person became a story for all of us.
Trinity, together we will have 8 opportunities to be a part of one of these studies, one of which is the adult Bible class. This session will be led by Greg Yaman in the typical fellowship hall, the typical time and everything. Lo Phillips is having one on Tuesday evening, who's here at this time. And if you have any questions, you can ask Lo or myself, or go to the adult Bible class if you'd like to start, but haven't yet found your spot. They're in the weekly, all 8 of them, and we hope that, pray that you'll find one that will be an appropriate place for you. But even if it's done individually, there's such a powerful thing. Desiree and I sat down and talked for a long time this weekend just over what we had just read, and it was wonderful sharing the Word of God just between the two of us. And so we are thankful that you will have that opportunity as well. God's blessings. Please join us in our final hymn this week and have a wonderful week in the Lord. And serve the Lord with joy.
Thanks be to God.